We're holding on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, beginning the 8th Perek of our Masechta. The Perek is going to focus on the dinim of the Torah, specifically on the dinim of the Lachmei Torah. We have in this past week's parasha, a person brings a korban Torah. Most often a person would bring it when he was in some kind of danger and Hashem saved him from it, the kind of thing where nowadays you'd bench goymul, so you'd bring a korban Torah. And the Torah that's basically a shlomim with certain special rules, one of them being that you bring it along with 40 loaves of bread, as the Torah describes. You have three types of matzah, which we're going to learn, 10 loaves of each, because like we learned before, according to both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, the Torah consists of 10 loaves of each of the three types, only when it comes to other menachas, we had a machlokas. When it comes to the Lachem Aponim and the Chavit HaKohen Gadol, everybody agreed that it's that it comes in 12. Anyway, but when it comes to the Torah, everybody agrees it comes in tens. And then you have 10 loaves of chometz that go along with it. There's an interesting symbolism. The Kli Yoker points out that you have four types of loaves corresponding to the psukim. Have four types of people who have to thank Hashem for being saved from danger. And you have the symbolism that you have both matzah and chometz. Chometz represents the Yetzirah, so it represents, as we have in the psukim over there, Vayachna Ba'omel Libam, for example, the person was stubborn and in the grip of his Yetzirah, and that's why Hashem put him in danger. And now that he got saved, he did tshuva, and Hashem saved him, so that represents the chometz transforming into matzah, which is why we have matzah, but we also have chometz there as well. Okay. So let's start by talking about the amount of flour that you need for them. So we're going to learn later on where we learn the figures in our Mishnah, but first let's deal with the actual figures. One thing we have to understand in order to understand this Mishnah and the next Gemara, and there's those charts that I prepared, and then sent them out on the WhatsApp group. For our purpose, we have to consider there were two different periods in Jewish history in terms of the size of the measurements that we're going to deal with over here. First you have the type of measurements, the system that's called midboris. Namely, because they had that in the desert, and when the Torah was first given, these were the measurements. So in particular, you had what's relevant for our Mishnah over here is that you have, there's a large measure called an Eifah, which consists of three saw, and which also consists of ten Isorin. So there's three saw to the Eifah, 10 Isorin to the Eifah, and vice versa, and then there's 3 1/3 Isorin to the saw. So now, if we're going to talk about it in terms of a sroinim, then we can also translate it into saws or afas in terms of the amount of flour that we need. Now, eventually, then, that'll be the first side over here, where you have the side one saw Yerushalmus equals 1 1/5 saw midbaris. What happened was at some point in Jewish history, and we'll talk about soon when that was, then they enlarged the measurements by 20%. So it now becomes Yerushalmis in the sense that now this is the measurements they used when Yerushalayim was the center of Jewish life. The Pashtus is at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara is going to bring Pesukim from Yechezkel on that subject, and Yechezkel lived during Golus Bavel. In any case, so now you have everything enlarges by 20%. So now you have the Eifa they weren't really using anymore. Instead, you have the saw, the Isorin, and the Kav. And in particular, you have that now instead of there being 3 1/3 Isorin to the saw, now there's 4 Isorin to the saw. Tosfos actually says that they did actually enlarge the Eifa as well. But according to Tosfos, everything did increase. But the point is, in other words, that now if we talk about in terms of Yerushalmi measures, we're going to be talking about more Esroinim than we were in the Midbaris system. It's still going to be the same amount of flour. We just call it by a different number. Actually, it'll be fewer Esroinim because you have 4 Esroinim for the saw, whereas before you had only 3 1/3. So now you have, in other words, so the Mishnah is going to spell out for us as we have on the table over here. Altogether, you need 20 Isorin. Which in the Yerushalmis measures is equal to 30 Kav. And then you divide it among the chometz and the matzah, as we're going to go on to say. Tosfos, by the way, brings up the point. With Pidyon HaBen, for example, we're going to talk about later on, we're going to talk about in the Sugya, that they also enlarge the size of the coinage. And with Pidyon HaBen, the fact is you have to go according to the new sizes. Why don't we say that when it comes to the Torah, you also have to go according to the new sizes, and then it doesn't matter how many Isarim there are to the Saw under the new system, you would actually be bringing more flour than you were before. So Tosfos says, because when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, there's a word in the pasuk Yia, which implies that it has to be that way, and then the Keren Ora points out another point as well, because by Pidyon HaBen, the Torah talks about the actual coins, so you always have to give 5 shkolim. So when the shekel is larger, you have to give 5 shkolim. Here the Torah doesn't actually say that when it comes to the Lachme Torah, that you have to have a kevi named an Isarin. It says you have to bring an Isarin. Well then, in that case, even if the Isarin becomes larger, you're still sticking with the original size of the Isarin as it was at the time the Torah was given, which is the table labeled Midbaris over here. Later on, by the way, on top of that, there was even a time after Churban Bayis Sheni when they increased the measurements yet again and created a system called Siporis. We're not dealing with that over here because we're dealing with the Lachmei Torah, which is only when there's a mismatch. One place where Siporis measurements come up is in a Shir Chala, because you have to know how many kavim to take Chala from, and that changed. Again, it's always the same amount, but it's always the same amount, the actual same amount of flour, but how it was expressed in the measurements of that time is different depending in the time of the, in the time when the Torah was given versus the second Beis HaMikdash versus afterwards. Okay, so this Mishnah says, HaTorah Hoisabah Chomesh Sin Yerushalmios. The Torah, the bread that came with the Korban Torah, was made out of 5 Sar Yerushalmios, Shehin Shesh Midbarius, which equals 6 Midbarius, because like we were just saying, and as you have on the table over here, every Yerushalmis Kav, every Yerushalmis Sar is 20% larger than the corresponding one of the, than the corresponding Midbarius one. So therefore, you would have 5 Sar Yerushalmios, which in terms of Midbarius, that would be equal to 6. Now, another way of looking at it, Shtei Ephos, another way of explaining it is you can call it 2 Ephos, because you have in the Midbaris table, 1 Epha equals 3 Sa. So if you started out with, if you had 6 Sa, then that equals 2 Epha, Epha Shalosh Sin, because an Epha contains 3 Sa. Now, an Epha also contains 10 Isarin, so Esrin Isarin. So another way of expressing it is it contains 20 Isarin. So in terms of Midbaris measurements, since it's 6 Sa, and each saw contains 3 1/3 sarin, as you have in the Midbaris table, then 3 1/3 times 6 equals 20. Putting it in Yerushalmis measurements, which is what they used in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, you would call it five saw, because in that system each saw because in that system each saw contains 4 sarin. So either way, it's the same amount of flour, you're just expressing it differently. How do you divide it up? Asara l'chometz v'asara l'matzah. Of that 20 isarin in the Yerushalmi, of that 20 isarin in the original, in the Midbaris system, 10 isarin is for the chometz and 10 for the matzah. Meaning, in other words, that here we have 3 types of matzah, so each of the loaves of matzah was much smaller than the corresponding chometz ones. So here you have over here on the table, the total amount of bread is 20 isarin, which in terms of Yerushalmis measurements would be 30 kav, because in Yerushalmis measurements, and where you first have the kav, I mean, the pashtus, the kav probably existed in the time in the Midbar as well, but the Gemara is not really addressing it over here. They didn't use it very commonly, at least. So in the Yerushalmi system, an isarin consists of 1.5 kav. So 20 isarin is going to be 30 kav. Most of the time when they measured flour, they usually measured it in kavim, which is why when we talk about things involving flour, is why the Mishnah will tell us in terms of kavim. You have the same kind of thing as far as the Shir Chala as well, where the Mishnah in Chala tells it to us in terms of kavim, because that was, it was like nowadays, you would talk about it in terms of pounds or kilograms if you live in most of the rest of the world. So back then, the common measure that they would use for that purpose is called the kav. So you have like that, 20 isarin of the Midbaris system, of which 10 are used for the chametz and 10 for the matzah, as we're going to learn later on, where exactly, or on Ein Zayin Amud Beis and Ein Ches Amud Aleph, where we learn those figures from. Now, so then let's break it down further. asara l'chametz, when you have ten isarim that goes for the chametz, since you have ten chalas of chametz, isarim l'chala, then you have one isarim per chala. So of the ten chametz breads that came with the Torah, each one would be the size of an isarim. An isarim is a shir chala, so depending on contemporary posts can put it between 3 and 5 pounds approximately, so that would be the size of each of the chametz breads. So that's what you have over here on the table. Chametz is 10 isarin, 10 loaves, so one isarin per loaf. Asara l'matzah, when you have 10 loaves for the matzah, 10 isarin altogether for the matzah. Now, within the matzah, over matzah, shalosh minin, within the matzah itself, you have three types. Chalas, rikikin, or revucha. So you have those chalas, Rikikin, which we learned about chalas and rikikin in the previous parak. One way of understanding it is, we said that Rashi learns that there's no real difference in the size or the shape of them or whatever, just that the chalas are blended with oil when they're being made, when the dough is being made, and rikikin are just smeared with oil afterwards, as we learned about the other day. The other way of understanding it, the Eben Ezra says, and a number of mefoshim on the Gemara agree with him, that the chalas are thick and the rikikin are thin. As far as revucha, that means that boiling water was used in the making of it. So there's different slight variations among the Rishonim, what exactly revucha means. Rashi explains over here that it means that they would boil the flour. Earlier in the Masechta, Rashi says they would boil the flour in water. Later on in our Perek, Rashi says that it was boiled in oil, and there's quite a bit of discussion back and forth about what is it. Is it that you boil it in water or in oil? And there's different other opinions among the Rishonim as well. Whatever the case, that's Revucha. So you have three types that then were made into matzah. Nimtzu Shloisha Esronim. So therefore it comes out. So now So when it comes to the matzah, since you're starting out with ten isarin of the midbaris system, then it comes out you have 3 1/3 isarin for each of the three types, v'shalosh chalas the isarin, and you have three different types of you have three, so therefore you come out with three chalas per isarin. So each chala, in other words, each individual chala, instead of being like a chametz one full isarin, is 1/3 of an isarin. You have the rest of the table over here. At the matzah is 10 isarin, and there are three types of bread, so 10 isarin divided by 3, each loaf is going to be, so each type is going to be 3 1/3 isarin, and within each type you have 10 loaves, so divide your 3 1/3 isarin by 10, you have 1/3 of an isarin per challah of the matzah. Given that an isarin, again, is somewhere between about 3 and 5 pounds, so you're talking the size of each loaf of that one would be approximately a pound to a pound and a half. This is all in the midbaris system. Then the Gemara continues with Midi Yerushalmis. Now, what about in Midi Yerushalmis, where they were no longer using the Isorin as a day-to-day measurement? Instead, they were using the Kav. So we can still talk about the Isorin and the Yerushalmi measurement, but they weren't using it regularly. So now, if we have to translate all the above figures into Yerushalmi measurement, and again, the point is, it was in the time of the Second Base Mikdash, they were using these larger size units. So a person has to know, I'm going to be bringing a Mincha, I'm going to be bringing a Torah. How much flour do I have to go buy for the purpose? So instead, let's translate into those terms, shloshin, hoyu shloshin kav. That would come out the 30 kav, the 20 isarin of the midbaris system would translate into 30 kav of the Yerushalmi system. Because again, you have a kav consists of, an isarin consists of 1.5 kav. So now, translating it into Yerushalmi terms, Hamisha also the chametz, Hamisha also the matzah, of that 15 kav would go for the chametz, and the other 15 for the matzah. Hamisha also the chametz, it would come out, kavu mechza l'chala, it comes out, each chala of the chametz ones would be the size of a kav and a half. A kav and a half in Yerushalmi's system equals 3 1/3 isarin in the equals three each one equals one and a half tav in the Yerushalmi system equals one isarin of the Midbaris system. So it's still the same amount of flour. And by the way, when it comes to Shiur Challah, also the Mishnah tells us in Challah that during the time they were using the Yerushalmi system, then the Shiur Challah was also the same thing. It would be a kav and a half of Yerushalmi, which equals, if you figure it out, it comes out to 1.8 kav of Midbaris. And again, later on, they changed to another system called Siporis, and then the figure is changed because of that as well. Again, each time, it's always the same amount of dough from which you have to take Challah, the same way as here. It's the same amount of flour from which you have to use to make a Lachmei Torah. It's just expressed in different units, depending what unit they used in different periods of history. So again, so you have 15 for the chametz, where it comes out there for 1.5 tav of Yerushalmi per challah, chamish also the matzah, and you have 15 kav of Yerushalmi that are used for the matzah, or the matzah shalosh minin. And since you have three types of matzah, challah sirikikim rebucha, and you have to divide the flour among them, nimtzu chameshes kavim chamin v'min. So it comes out for each of the three types. There were five kav, or shtei chalas the kav, and therefore you got two chalas out of every kav. So each chala of the matzah, ones of the Torah, equaled a half a kav of the Yerushalmi system, which equals 1/3 of an isarin in the Midbaris system. Okay. So the Gemara says, Torah is about Chomesh Sin Yerushalmi. Yes, Menahani Mili. So where do we? So let's focus first on where we know that the Mishnah had said that there were three. The Mishnah had said that there were three starts of the Eifa. So let's work that out first, and then eventually, based on that, we will see on Amud Beis how we translate that into a Sronim and Kavim and all of that. So Amar Chista Amakra. Now, it's something that would have been known, but the Gemara wants to find an actual pasuk where we see that an Eifa contains three sa. So Amar Chista Amakra. You have a pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel is describing the third base mikdash, one of Meir Yamenu, and he's also describing the monetary system and the system of weights and measures. Not really weights, actually, the saw and the calf and all these things are really measures of volume. But he's describing the measuring system that's going to be in the time of the third base mikdash. So he says, Ha'efa v'habas teuchen echad yir, lochem, the word lochem doesn't say in the pasuk, Ha'efa v'habas teuchen echad yir, the efa and the bas are going to be the same size. The efa is used for dry things, the bas is used for liquids. So he says they're the same thing. Ma bas sholosh sin, so just like a bas consists of three sa, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, af efa sholosh sin, therefore by definition we see the efa has to also be three sa. Well, Uvas Gufa Menolan, well, where do we know the Bas itself is three sa? E Lema Bedichtiv, or you're going to say, because Yechezkel continues over there, Loses Masar Chomen HaBas, because the purpose of it, why am I telling you these measurements, Yechezkel is telling you, so that you'll know how to take Maser properly, you should know that you're going to take a Bas as Maser from a Chomer. Now, a Chomer is also known as a Kur, and consists of 30 sa. If the bas is three sa, then there you go, it's 1/10 of 30 sa. So if that's where you're learning from, and you're saying that based on that, therefore it must be that the, so therefore, and since Yechezkel also tells us that the Eifa and the bas are the same size, then the Eifa also has to be three. The question is, and we don't need the proof from the bas, Eifa nami, hoksiv asir is a choymer or Eifa. The same pasuk also says that 1/10 of a choymer is an Eifa. So if you know what the choymer is, you don't need the bas in order to demonstrate to you what the Eifa is, just the you know, whatever a choymer is, and once you know a choymer is 30, then automatically an Eifa is 3. So Ella, the problem is with a choymer lo yadayna kama. The problem is we don't really know what the choymer is. Fine, we just said that a choymer is what's known in Gemara terminology as a kor. It's also called that in the psukim, actually. But nevertheless, fine. You know, do we have anything explicit about that in the pasuk? So if we don't know how much the choymer is, hochanami, well, lo yadayna kama. Well, then when it comes to the bas, we also are not going to know. We have to first establish what the choymer is. So the question is, why, what are you telling me? Once we know the bas, then the afer is the same thing, and then therefore therefore there's our answer, one way or the other. Either we don't need the proof from the bas, because if we know what a chomer is, we automatically know both what an afer and a bas are independently. Or if we don't know, then we don't know. Then knowing it's equal to a bas is not going to help us. So no, elamai hacha. So rather, the answer is that it's from a couple of psukim later. Yechezkel continues with choy kashemen, the fixed amount of oil, meaning the amount you're going to be giving as meiser, habas hashemen is going to be a bas of oil. Masra, again, the Gemara quotes it as if the pasuk had a vav, but it doesn't. Masra bas min akur. A bas is meiser from a kur. So here, instead of using the word choymer, he uses the word kur. Aseres habatim choymer. 10 batim make a choymer. Ki aseres habatim choymer. Because it's always that way that it's always that way. 10 bas are going to make a choymer. Meaning, in other words, he's telling you that even if at some time they do decide to enlarge one of them, they have to enlarge the other one in proportion so that a bas will always be 1/10 of a choymer. Well, now we see clearly in the pasuk that a choymer and a kur are the same thing. And since we know how much a kur is, everybody knows a kur is 30 saw, because Rashi Ksaviyad points out they regularly use the saw and the kur to measure grain. You often find throughout Shas, you often find when you talk about measuring grain, for example, you talk about in terms of saws or in terms of kurim. So the choymer might not have been a measurement that they're familiar with, but the kur is. So therefore, so we know that a kur is 30 saw. And since the pasuk is telling us that a bas is 1/10 of that, then that means a bas is 3 saw. And since in turn the pasuk also tells us that a bas and an ephah are the same thing, so there we go. That's how we know that an ephah is 3 saw. So the only difference is that the bas is used for liquids and the ephah is used for dry things. Now, in this connection, let's talk about this matter of that we changed from midbaris to Yerushalmis measurements and things were added. You're not allowed to enlarge the measures more than 1/6. When we say 1/6, it's called, as the Gemara often does, fractions, milavar. It means that you take the total amount, and then the added amount is 1/6 of the total. So in other words, it's what we would call adding 20%, meaning in other words, you start out, for example, so in our example before, you start out with a saw, which contains 3 1/30 sarin, and you enlarge it by 20%, and now it's 40 sarin. The extra that you added, 2/3, is 1/6, is 1/6 of the total. 2/3 is 2/3 is 1/6 of 4. It's 1/5 of the original. It's 3 1/3. So Shmuel says that's the maximum that you can add. Now, we don't mean, in other words, when you're creating a new measurement of a new name, then you can do as you wish. What we mean is, in other words, let's say in our case, the Chachamim or a local Basin or whatever decide that the saw should be larger than it was before, the maximum they can increase it by is 20%. Also, Shmuel says by the same token, they can't enlarge the coinage by more than 1/6. Same thing. You have, let's say, a coin, a selah, for example, that had X amount of metal in it, and therefore it has, and therefore is worth such and such. Then you can increase it by up to 20%, but no more than that. And Shmuel says a third din, when a person is going to sell things and make a profit on them, not everything. Primarily, the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, we're talking about the thing about oichel nefesh, things that are basic staples that people use, like grain and wine and oil and basic things like that. So okay, also lo yistakel yosem mishtus, a person should not make more than 1/6, more than 20%, as we would call it, profit. So all these things you have the same figures. Where you have a maximum how much they can enlarge it, and you have a maximum how much you can do. The poskim do write that where you have in places where people are not paying attention to that, and then everybody else is jacking up the prices and marking things up a lot more than 20%, then a person is not obligated to sell at a loss in order to be mechayim. And it's really more being on the local based in that they're supposed to be enforcing such things. Okay, so the Gemara says my timer. Now, why are we saying? Why is Shmuel saying that the limit for all these things is down to 20%? My timer. Let's start with the measurements. Why can't you enlarge the measurements more than 20%? Why can't you have, for example, that you have? Let's say you have a measure or a saw, which held, let's say, a saw containing, let's say, 20 pounds, and you want to enlarge it and say that from now on a saw is 30 pounds. Why can't you do that? Elaine Mishumaf Koi Tara is the reason is because it's going to cause inflation, because what's going to happen? In other words, that obviously, if the tsar is larger, you're going to be charging more for it. But now, if you are allowed to enlarge it too much, and the owners and the storekeepers therefore are going to start charging more because after all, it is a larger amount. If you're allowed to increase it by any percentage, the prices are going to go up so much. People are going to think that there's a famine or a shortage or whatever, and that's going to destroy the economy. So if that's the reason, well, then why should you be limited to 20% as well? You have the same problem that they're going to increase the measurements by 20%. Meanwhile, the storekeepers are going to grab the opportunity and they're going to jack up prices by 25%. So why are we allowing that? Is it because of the matter of Aina, as in Bava Metzia, we learned a couple of years back at great length about the dinim of Aina, where you have the basic rule is if the price was there also the limit was 1/6, which is to say 20%. If you have something that was supposed to be $5 worth, and the person sells it to you for less than $6, for somewhere under $6, then it's considered generally speaking there's mechila. A person is usually going to be mechil on that difference. But if it was exactly 1/6, if it was exactly $6, then you have a din of aina, then you can go and demand from him compensation and that he should give you back that extra dollar. And if he sold it for more than that, then you have what's called bitul mekach, which is that you can, if he sold it to you for 601 or more, then you're entitled to tell him, you know what, I want to void the whole deal and give me back my money and I'll go buy the thing someplace else. So you're going to tell me then that Shmuel is saying we don't want to increase the measurements by more than that threshold, because then when the prices go up, then we may have problems of bitul mekach. And therefore we want to keep it to the size where the maximum, the worst that's going to happen is he's going to demand back his extra dollar. So you're going to say that that's the reason why Shmuel is saying don't raise the size of the measurements, and therefore the price is by more than that. The question is, well, Amar Rabba, but Rabba says, Kol davar shebemidah shebemishkan veshebeminyan. Any time that you're dealing with something involving measuring or weighing or counting, after the pachas mikdei no choizer, then you're allowed to retract. We actually had this earlier. We actually had this earlier in the Masechta as well, in connection with certain dinim of the Omer. So we said over there that when you have something that's weighed or measured or counted, then there's no limit. Then there's no limit of aina. Namely, in other words, when do we say aina? Is, for example, so I'm selling you something which was supposed to be $5 and I'm selling to you for $6. But let's say, for example, the deal was I'm going to sell you a dozen eggs, for example, and I sold you only 11. Would we say, well, that's less than a shtus and therefore nothing? No, but a dozen is a dozen, and then I sold you only 11. So by the same token over here, so what's the difference whether the measurements have been increased 20% or less than that? Here you have, even if the measurements have been increased less than that, a person comes and says, I want to buy a saw of wheat, and you sell him, and you sell him less than a saw, it's still going to be a mekach tos. And then vice versa, if you sold him more, then you have a claim of mekach tos. I gave you too much. I'm entitled to the overage. So there's no difference between more than 1/6 and less than 1/6 in that connection. So again, why is Shmuel setting that as the threshold? Elamishum tagra. So you're going to say it's for the benefit of the seller of the merchant. Kihechid lelimti dayana, because you don't want that he should have to suffer a loss. The word dayana over here is a bit of an unusual word. And in fact, Rashi, Ksavyad has over here the word is not dayana but zayana, which is a zayin, which would be a word that he translates it as hefsid, a loss. Agos Abach actually changes it to the word pseida, which is the more usual Aramaic word for loss. Anyway, you're going to say the point is you don't want him to lose out. So because, in other words, we're saying he's entitled to, as Shmuel had said, and this third din, that he's entitled to make a profit of up to 20%. So you don't want, for example, that he's going to go. And so you have the people in the villages, the farmers are going to measure out to him. For example, Rashi Ksavyad explains. So he's going to go and they're going to sell him. They're going to measure him out the grain and sell it at 5 sloyim for the amount of grain they sold him. He's going to go sell it for 6 sloyim because there's his profit. Now, Now, what happens is that when you have the new measurements, and he's going to be paying more for it in the village. His donkey driver, his truck driver, to put it in modern terms, is going to be paying more in the is going to be paying more in the villages to the farmers, and therefore the merchant is going to lose out. So therefore, you're going to tell me that therefore we have a limit of how much you can increase the measurements. The problem with that is, Rav Choleg Boy. Okay, so fine. So what are you doing? So you're preventing that he won't suffer a loss. And therefore, you're saying that because he can't sell it at more than a 20% markup, then therefore you don't want to increase the measurements more than 20%. So what happens? You increase the measurements exactly 20%. You're still going to have the same problem. Then he's not going to make any profit at all. Zabun v'zabin tagu ikri. If a person just buys and sells at the same price, is he called a merchant? A merchant is supposed to a vendor is supposed to be making a profit. So in that case, then if Shmuel's rule is, for example, that the maximum that he can earn a profit on such things is 20%. Then Shmuel's rule should have been, let's say, that the maximum that the measurements can be increased is, let's say, 18% or 15% or 10% or something, so that no matter what, you're preserving the guy's ability to make a profit. Fine, it won't be 20%, it'll be 10%, it'll be 5% or whatever, but at least some profit he'll make. Why are you making the threshold of increasing the measurements is exactly the same as his profit margin, where then it may come out that he makes no profit at all? Ela Amar Rav Chisda, rather Rav Chisda says, no, never mind Svara. All this time we were assuming that Shmuel is getting his figures from Svara. Instead, Rav Chisda says Shmuel is going to be basing himself on more psukim from Yechezkel in that connection where he's talking about the monetary system and the measurement system of the future. So one point is, in other words, so to a certain extent, he's talking about the time of the third base of Mikdash, but again, as we're going to say, many of these changes were actually made already at that time, and they existed in the time of the second base of Mikdash, which is why we called them in the Mishnah Midas Yerushalmius. So before we were focusing on the measurements, now let's talk about as far as the monetary system. So Shmuel Kro Ashbach Vedora, Shmuel found a pasuk and dashing it as follows. Yechezkel describes a shekel eschim geira. A shekel consists of 20 geira, which is as it was in the times of the Torah, as we have, for example, by Matzah Shekel, where the Torah tells us eschim geira a shekel, that a shekel consists of 20, and therefore Matzah Shekel is 10. Now, Yechezkel continues, eschim shkolim, chamisha v'eschim shkolim, asora v'chamisha shokel hamona yilachem. 20 shkolim, 25 shkolim, 10 shkolim, and 5 shkolim will equal to you a money. So in other words, now you add up those numbers, 20, 25, 10, and 5 equals 60. So in other words, he's telling you that a mona consists of 60 shekel. Now the question is, now, given that a shekel contains 4 zuz, a zuz is also called a dinner, then it would mean that a mona, it would mean that Yechezkel is describing for us a mona that has 240 dinner, 240 zuz in it. The problem with that is, mona mosan vaboin ha, mona mosan vaboin habu. Since when is a mona 240? The familiar mona with the familiar mona that they used in the times of, that they used in the times of the Gemara, consisted of 100 dinar. So how do you get from 100 to 240? Before we get to that point, by the way, Tosfos points out that when Yechezkel says there are 20 geira to the shekel, that is exactly as it was in the times of the Torah. Now here the Gemara is going to say that in Yechezkel's times they enlarged the coinage, so then it should come out as we'll see soon that indeed it eventually it came out that there were 24 geira, otherwise known as ma, to the seller, but here the pasuk is saying that there was still 20. So let's look at now, you have the tables on the other side of my page, and you have, so first you have the original system. Well, let's learn the answer with the Gemara first, and then we can learn these tables, and then work it out that way. So Ela Shmamina Plas. So therefore, Shmuel says you can learn three things. The fact that Yechezkel describes a mona as 240 zuz, when we know on a day-to-day basis that a mona consists of 100 zuz. First of all, Shmamina mona shal kodesh kofel hoya. So first of all, you see that the mona that was used by kodesh was double in size. So a regular one was 100, then one of kodesh would be 200. Second of all, it means that we can enlarge the measurements. Instead of making 200, we can make the mana larger. But the amount is the maximum that we can add is 1/6. So therefore, we're going from 200 to 240. So the Mono Shel Kodesh now goes from two, the regular Mono would go from 100 to 120, the Mono Shel Kodesh would go from 200 to 240. Or Shema Min HaShtusim Levar, and we also see, like we've been saying all this time, that when we say Shtus in this connection, 1/6, it means Milavar, means from the outside, means we take the total and we figure out how much was the extra, what percentage of the total is that extra amount. So when we go from 200 to 240, 40 extra is 1/5 of 200, but what we mean is, when you look at the total, 240, how much of it is the extra? Is 40, 40 out of 240 is 1/6. And the same thing with all the other measurements. So what's going on over here? So first of all, let's look at the tables over here. So you have like this, the original system was in the Torah, it doesn't mention in the Torah, it doesn't explicitly mention a mana, but you had there was the original mana, which would consist altogether of 1,000, you had a mana kodesh, which is equal to 2 regular mana, it equals 50 shekel kodesh, each of those contained 4 dinar, each of which contained 5 gera, or otherwise known as ma. So there you have the figures in the first table over there. So in particular, for example, the Torah tells us, Ramachta Shekel, Estrim Gera HaShekel, what's called over here a selah in the table, is what's called in Tanakh, is called a shekel, or it's called Shekel HaKodesh, and it consisted of 20 gera. And you have all the other figures appropriately. Now, Tosfos brings up a couple of possibilities. Again, Tosfos' question is that the Torah tells us there's 20 gera to the shekel HaKodesh, and it seems that and Yechezkel is describing the same thing. So then how does that work with the idea that we're saying that we're enlarging everything? So first Rabbeinu Tam gives an answer in Tosfos that they only enlarge the Mona Kodesh. They kept everything else the same. So now, in that case, then it comes out. So now you have the table below that one, where you have a mona kodesh now consists of two-fifths regular mona instead of just two. So now the number of shekels in it goes up accordingly. When Yechezkel says figures that add up to 60. Now the reason why he's mentioning those figures 20, 25, 5, 10. He means that you're going to make sub coins of that size. You're going to make a coin consisting of 20 shekel, and you're going to have another coin of 25 shekel, and so forth. That's the Ramah explains that in Bava Basra. Tam and R. Tosfos over here explains that what they would do is they had three different weights. Because they use them not only as coinage, but they also use them as weights. So you have the denominations that he describes represent one regular mana, so they would use that as a weight. And then you have also weights that would represent 1/3 and 1/4 of a mana kodesh. And together they all equal one mana kodesh, which now would be 60 shekel. So according to that answer of Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos, then you have the first stage was, which Chesed is describing, they changed the size of the mana and they left everything else the same. Well, in particular, you still have 20 ma, 20 gera to the shekel, which is how you have it. 60 times 20 is going to equal 1200 for a mana kodesh, but everything else stays the same. Later on, Rabbeinu Tam explains that in the time of the Chachamim, after Yechezkel, they decided to enlarge the Sela and everything else accordingly. So that's when it became the familiar thing that we have in the Gemara, that now a Sela consists of 24 Ma, and that therefore everything goes up from there. So they still kept, so according to that then, so now the Mona Kodesh has still been increased. The regular mana they left as is, but the Sela, they increased the Sela in size and everything else below it accordingly. So that's that. Then Tosfos has another answer that no, there's only one stage over here. That's when you have in the top corner of my charts over here. So you have Tosfos' second explanation is that no, to begin with, they made one change, not like Rabbeinu Tam is saying first they enlarged the mana and then later on everything else, but rather there was only one change. So in the new system, the mana kodesh, which again is double the size of a regular mana, is in fact 50 new sela, but it's 60 old sela. When Yechezkel is saying 25, so when Yechezkel is saying to the 20 shekel, 25 shekel, 10 shekel, 5 shekel, he means talking in terms of the old shekels, the old selas. But in terms of the new ones, that is going to equal only 50 because again the sela has been enlarged by 20%. And therefore, you still have, according to that, a stela consists of 24 ma, and as is the familiar thing that we have in throughout Shas. In any case, so we see from the, but we see that from the pasuk, we see that there was an enlargement, and we see that the enlargement was 20%, and we see that that, and we see, and so we see that the, we see that was the amount they were able to enlarge it, and we see that it's milavar, we see that the, when we call it shtus, 1/6, it really means 1/6 of the new total, which is to say, 20% of the original amount. So therefore, so that's where Shmuel gets his figure from, that they can increase it up to that amount. So Amar Ravina, Masnisin Nami Deka, so Ravina says, in fact, you can see that from the wording of our Mishnah. The Tanya Toda Hosebar, Chomish Sin Yerushalmis, Chain Shesh Midbarius. We were saying the Toda consisted of 5 Yerushalmi Sa, which is equal to 6 Midbarius Sa. Shmamina, so you see from that, exactly that. They increased the size, so before we were talking about increasing the size of the coinage. And as Rabbi Natan points out in Tosfos, they use the mana also, besides using it as a monetary unit, they also use it for weighing things. But now we see also in the Mishnah, when we talk about measures of volume, that what used to be five, what used to be 6 saw is now called 5 saw. So we see again, they increased it by 20%, but no more than that. And the idea would be, in other words, that, The idea would be this way it doesn't cause that inflation in prices that we were talking about before. If everything goes up together, if they increase the money and the size of the measurements all at the same time, then it used to be, for example, a common price of wheat, we find in many places in Shas, was 4 saw to the seller. So you still have the amount of the amount of grain that's in a seller is larger, the amount of grain that's in a saw is larger, but the amount of metal that's in the seller is also larger. So therefore, you still have that proportion maintained. So we haven't yet worked out how we know the figures that we said in the Mishnah, namely about the actual number of Sin and Esroinim and all that we use. That we're going to deal with now on Ein Zayin Amud Beis further down. For right now, we were just dealing with where we see, how we see the relationship, how we see, first of all, when the Mishnah had told it to us in terms of Eifas, how we know how much an Eifa is and how much a Sa is, and what then, and how we have this, this difference between the Midbaris and the Yerushalmis systems. Okay. So the Mishnah continues. Mikom hayin notel echad ma'asara truma. So now, when you made the lachme toida, and again, you have ten each of four different types. Each one, you take one out of the 10 and give it as truma to the koyin. Shenema, how the pasuk says in this past week's parasha, he could menu echad mikol korban truma l'Hashem. You take from it one of each type of korban as a truma for Hashem, and it goes to the koyin. So when it says echad, means shalo yitok porus. So we learned at the end of the previous parak, it means that you can't take a broken one. So you have to have, it has to be a complete loaf that you're giving him. Mikol korban, when it says from each korban, we learn from that shiukol korbanos shavus. It means that all the korbanos, all the various types of bread that you have with the Torah, all have to be the same in terms of, all have to be the same number of chalas. Because you don't want to have that the person is going to be taking a korban from one on behalf of the other. Mm-hmm. So you can't have, for example, so you have 10 chalas, 10 rikikin, etc. You can't have, for example, that you're going to have, let's say, only you're going to have, let's say, 15 rikikin and only 5 chalas, and it's going to come out when you take a chala, you're taking it not only on behalf of itself, but on behalf of some of the rikikin. You can't do that. The pasuk continues, "Lakoyin azorik as dam ashlamim." The regular Rashi on the top explains another point as well. It means, for example, that it has to be you take one of each type. You can't have, let's say, for example, you're going to give 2 of the chalas and only none of the rikikin, that sort of thing. When the pasuk says, "Lakoyin azorik as dam ashlamim lo yeah," so the pasuk says it goes to the koyin who sprinkles the blood of the shlamim, which doesn't mean only that koyin. As we learned in Zvachim, it means any koyin who was eligible to do that dam ashlamim, meaning, in other words, any koyin who was not tomei or an oinin or various other disqualifications. Vashan nachal abaylim, the rest of the bread together with most of the korban is eaten by the owner. So the Gemara says, "Tanna, why don't we learn in a braisa? Let's go through the details that we said in the Mishnah. V'hikriv mimenu." The pasuk says you should offer from it. That means mina mechuber. That means from what's connected together. So what does it mean connected? So what does it mean connected together? So in other words, they should all be together. So regular Rashi says they should all be together. Rashi Ksav Yad says more than that. They should all be in one keli. Tosfos points out, not really they need to be in one keli, strictly speaking, just means they need to be minam mukaf. They have to be all together in the same they have to be all in the same area, just like we have when you give truma, where you don't have to have everything to be in one keli, but you do have to have that everything has to be in one place when you're taking the truma. So it'd be the same thing over here. The pasuk is echad, so there's a mishnah. Essentially, yotor paros means you can't take a broken, you can't give a broken loaf as the truma to the kohen. We call korban when it says from each korban. So as we said, you call a korbanus shavus. It has to be that all the korbanus are equal. Shalo yotor mina korban achaveri. It shouldn't be that you take from one korban on behalf of the other one. Either as regular Rashi had said, you can't take two of one type and zero of another type and give them to the kohen. Or as Rashi Ksaviyad had said, it also means the number of chalas themselves has to be equal, 10 of each, so that you're not giving. So you're not giving some from one on behalf of a different one. Next, the Braisa says Truma LaHashem. When it says you're giving Truma to Hashem, any Adam Kamahi. Now you wouldn't know how much is Truma. You're giving one of each type, but the Pasuk doesn't actually specify how many of each type you have. Well, says the Braisa, how did he done? Well, then we're going to learn by Binyan Av. Nemakan Truma, but Nemakan Truma Smeiser Truma. Here it calls it Truma. Truma Smeiser is also called, Truma. You give Maaser Rishon to the Levi, and he gives out of that one tenth to the Kohen. Malahalam Ephraim Asara. Now there, the Torah clearly says that he gives Maaser and a Maaser one tenth of the Maaser that he received. So therefore, it's 1 out of 10. Afkan Ephraim Asara. The same way over here, it has to be 1 out of 10. So that is where we learned at the end of the previous parak that you have 10 loaves of each type of bread. This is where we see that, the fact that you're giving one of each type to the Kohen. Now Tosfos points out, why don't we learn from Truma Gdola? The din is, right, when it comes to Truma Gdola, you don't have a minimum amount min haTorah and min haDerabanan. You have 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. Why don't we do that over here? So the Gemara is going to end up saying that we don't learn from Bikurim. Tosfos points out for the same reason you don't learn from Truma. But why isn't the Gemara asking that to begin with? So because the Torah never actually says that you should lift it up. So it only says Nisina. So the same way, when it says Vihu, Vihikru, men of Ephraim, the Kokoban, Truma LaHashem, when it actually says that you have to lift it up and give it to Hashem, then it can't mean it would be Truma. It would have to be Meiser, where it does say Vahari Mosim Mimenu. So the Braisa says, Oy Kloch Vodarachsu, but you could go in a different direction, and maybe instead of learning from Truma, you should learn instead from a different thing that you give to the Kohanim. Nema kan truma v'nema bikurim truma. Both here and by bikurim, they are called truma. Namely, when the Torah gives us a whole list in Parashas Re'eh of things that you're not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim, and one of them is usrumas yodecha. And the Gemara explains, elsewhere that trumas yodecha means bikurim. You're not allowed to eat bikurim outside Yerushalayim. So we should learn malahalan ein mashir. Now when it comes to bikurim, midaraisa there's no shir, as we say every morning in davening. Eilu dvarim shein lam shir hapeir avad bikurim. So the same thing over here. Afkan ein mashir. Maybe over here there should be no minimum shir either. So maybe you can give the kohen any amount, and therefore there's no specific thing that you have to have 10 loaves of each type, and no thing that you have to give him one whole loaf or anything like that. So the braisa is nir l'midoma. Well, let's see which one it more resembles. Donim truma she'en acharei truma, mitruma she'en acharei truma. We should rather learn a truma where there's no truma after that. Namely, after you give the bread of the Torah to the kohen, there's nothing more that you give him. You give him that. You give him the relevant pieces of the korban, and that's that. There's nothing else that you need to do that you should be able to now eat the rest of the bread. Mi truma she'en acharei truma. Learn that from truma smeiser, where the same thing. Once the levi gives the truma smeiser to the kohen, that's it. He's done. As opposed to, don't try to learn from Bikurim. Yes, you give Bikurim, but you are still going to have to give Truma and Maaser after that from your crop. So therefore you can't learn from one from the other. And in fact, one of the Mefarshim on the Sifra explains, in other words, precisely because you're going to be giving more things later on, therefore the Torah says, you know what, when it comes to Bikurim, give whatever small amount you want. You're going to be giving more anyway. You're going to be giving more anyway later anyhow, but here where this is the last thing you're giving, then the Torah is going to demand an amount. Later on, when it came to Bikurim, also the Chum made a rule that Bikurim has to be at least 1/60th, but we're talking about before that time. So that's a reason not to learn from Bikurim. But the Braise still asks, on the other hand, though, you could still argue to the contrary, compare Truma of Lachme Torah, which has to be eaten Davke in Yerushalayim, from Bikurim, from what's called Truma, which is also Hanechelis Makom Kaddish, which is also eaten in the holy place in Yerushalayim, Baltechich, Trumas Meiser, Shenechelis Bechol Makom. What are you proving from Trumas Meiser, which could be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, at least in principle, maybe anywhere in the world, or in Rabbanan outside Eretz Yisrael is Tomei. But in any case, so in that sense, the Lachmei Torah are much more similar to the Bikurim. So, the Braise says the bottom line is you're right. From a Binyan Av, we wouldn't be able to learn it because whatever you're trying to learn from whatever way you would think to learn it from Trumas Meiser and say that's 1/10, you could equally well logically learn it from Bikurim and say that it means even the smallest amount. No, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the pasuk says Mimenu Truma Lashem. Therefore, the pasuk says Mimenu from it take a Truma Lashem. Ochtib Trumas Meiser Mimenu Truma, and it has the same expression when it comes to Trumas Meiser. So you have the same word Mimenu, and it also calls it Truma. Therefore, the Gzeira Shava. So it's not just a Binyan Av, it's Gzeira Shava. And therefore, we see that we learn it from Trumas Meiser, and therefore, so Gzeira Shava, we can't slog up that easily. So we're left with that that's where we learn it from. Okay. Now, Lamadan the Truma Shiachar Masara. Okay, well, that teaches us, that continues the Braise, that teaches us that the amount of Truma that you give to the Kohen is 1 out of each 10 of each type of loaf. But you don't know so far yet what is the size of each challah. Now here we learn from the first Mishnah. We said the size of the challahs, but the Mishnah just says, the Mishnah usually does, it just tells us the din without telling us the background where we learn it from. So now the Braise is going to derive that for us. So harini don. So first we're going to try to learn it from Binyan Av. Nemakam lechem v'nema laham v'shteya lechem lechem. Both here and the shteya lechem are both called bread in the Torah. So we're not making a Gzeira Shava really, we're just saying Binyan Av, Malahal and Isorim Lachala. When it comes to the Shteya Lechem, each Chala consists of one Isorim, because the Pasuk says, Shedoshtayim Shnei Esrayim, you bring two loaves, which consist between the two of them of two Esrayim. So therefore, Afkan Isorim Lachala, the same way over here, an Isorim for every Chala, which is going to be the case with the Chometz ones. We're going to see, as we learned in the first Mishnah, the Matzah ones are different, but first let's focus on them. But first, the Braise says, "Oy klocho derech zu," but maybe go in a different direction. Instead of learning from Lachmei Torah, learn from Lachem Aponim. Nemakan lechem, nemam lachaponim lechem. The Lachem Aponim is also called lechem. Malahalan shnei esurinis, and Lachem Aponim is two esurin per chala, because the pasuk says so. Shnei esurin yachala echas. So afkan shnei esurinis, the same thing maybe by Lachmei Torah. It has to be two esurin per chala. So again, the Braise says nidal midonim. Well, if we want to make a binyan av, let's see which one it more resembles. Donin mincha ba chometz imaz zebach. Learn a mincha that comes chometz together with a korban, named the lachmei torah. You have bread of chometz, and you have it comes together with an animal for the korban. Mincha ba chometz imaz zebach. You're going to learn that from another mincha that also comes chometz and comes together with a korban, namely the shteya lechem. Don't learn from the lachem aponim. First of all, the lachem aponim cannot be chometz; it must be matzah. And imazevach, it doesn't come with a korban. The lachem aponim goes all by itself. But still, the Braise says oy kloch l'derech zu. But you could argue in the other way. Don in mincha ba me eretz mechutz la'aretz mi min achodesh min ayoshan. Learn the lachmei Torah where the wheat for it can come from either Eretz Yisrael or chutz la'aretz. There's no particular later on in the Masechta. We're going to talk about the places in Eretz Yisrael from which they would get the best quality wheat. But for the most part, you're not chayev to. You couldn't get wheat from anywhere and bring the mincha. So it could be from Eretz Yisrael or from chutz la'aretz min achodesh min ayoshan. It could be from new grain or from old grain. It doesn't have to be davka, the newly harvested grain. And that's true of the Lachmei Torah, and it's also true of the it's also true of the Lachem Aponim. But instead you're trying to learn from the Shteya Lechem. So what are you trying to prove from the Shteya Lechem, where there has to be dafka from the newly harvested, from this year's crop of wheat, as we learned earlier, and it has to be dafka from Eretz Yisrael, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that it has to, well, the Pasuk actually says, Mimoshvei Seichem, from your dwellings, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, you have to bring the wheat. So you can't learn. So you shouldn't learn from the Shteya Lechem. Okay. So the Gemara says, so the Braisa says, you're right, you can't learn from a Binyan Av. Talmud Lomar, Meshvesechem, Tavir Lachem, Tznufa Shtayim. The Pasuk says, regarding the Shtay Lachem, from your dwellings in Eretz Yisrael, you should bring bread for waving Shtayim. You should bring two loaves. Now, Shein Talmud Lomar Tavir. It didn't have to say the word Tavir in the Pasuk. The previous Pasuk says, Vekraft a Mincha Chadasha Lashem. You should bring a new Mincha to Hashem. Meshvesechem, Lachem, Tznufa. Why add the word Tavir? So what are we learning from that? Anytime you're bringing something which is similar to the Shtei Lechem, which, as we said before, that it has the similarity of being chometz and coming together with a carbon, then it has to be like that. Therefore, we take a learn from the Shtei Lechem, not by a binyan av, but rather from a ribui in the pasuk. So just like with the Shtei Lechem, it's one isorin per chala, so it is with the lachmei torah. But the Braisa says, "E malahalan shnei asurinus afan shnei asurinus." But then you could argue that when it comes to the Shtei Lechem, you have two Asurinim in total, and no more than that. Afkan shnei asurinus. The same way over here, you would have all the. So in other words, by the Shtei Lechem, yes, it's one Isorin per loaf, but you only have two loaves. The total amount of Asurinim you bring is only two. Maybe the Torah is telling you that for the Chometz and the Torah, the total is two Asurinim, and spread across 10 Chalas, which would mean that each Chala is 1/5 of an Isorin, and not, like we said in the first Mishnah, that it's one Isorin per Chala. So how do we know that we're learning from the Isorin per Chala rather than the total number of Asurinim? Therefore, you have the word Tiyana. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that in the word tiyena, so the word tiyena is extra. The Gemara is going to explain soon. It's not the whole word, but rather the letter yud of it is extra. So therefore, that means that you have to have 10 esrenim. Continues the price. So lamanu asora lachometz. Fine, that covers now that we have 10 esrenim for the chometz. Asora lamatzah minayin. How do we know that you also have 10 esrenim for the total amount of matzah in the Torah? Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Pasuk says, when we're going back to the Torah now, the Pasuk says that he brings three types of matzah, and it continues, al chalos lechem chometz, together with loaves of chometz bread. So that means neged chometz havei matzah, that means corresponding to the chometz, bring the appropriate amount of matzah. So it means, in other words, that the total amount of matzah is going to be equal to the amount of chometz. Nimtzu esrim esrenus. So therefore, it comes out, like we said at the beginning of the parak, 20 esrenus, esrim esrenus, lachmei torah. The lachmei torah consists of a total of 20 esrenus, asar lachometz, asar lamatza, of which 10 are used for the chometz, and the other 10 are used across the three types of matzah. Next, continues the Braisa, yochol asar shem matzah lo yukul an elam minachar. Now you would think that means that you just have maybe it means that you have only one type of matzah. In other words, the Ravid explains, maybe the Pasuk wants to tell you that you have, the Pasuk mentions three types of matzah. Maybe you don't have to bring all three. You bring whichever one of the three you want and make it out of 10 esrenim. And then in addition, you bring chometz and make that out of 10 esrenim. So how do we know that? No, it means you have to have all three types of matzah, and therefore that the size of each loaf of matzah is 1/3 the size of the one of chometz, as we said before. Talmud Lomar, therefore the pasuk said, let's quote the whole pasuk. Imal toida yakrivenu, if he's bringing a korban as a toida, the hikriv al zevach toida, and he should offer together with the toida chalos matzahs blulz v'shemen, chalos of matzahs that are blended with oil, or kikim matzahs meshuchim v'shemen, and kikim of matzahs that are smeared with oil, solus mubechas, this solus mubechas, that one actually says in the pasuk, and flour which is mubechas, like we said before, boiled in boiling water or boiling oil or whatever, and then baked. So we see clearly that there are three kinds. The Torah is not just telling us you have your option of one or the other. It's all three of them together. Nimtzu, so it comes out, as we had said before, shloisha esrenim u'shlish l'chol min v'min, 3 1/3 isorin for each of the types of matzah, v'sholosh chalas l'isorin, and therefore it comes out that there are 3 chalas per isorin, v'nimtzu lachmei toida aboyim, so you wind up with 40 lachmei toida, of which 10 are chometz and 30 are matzah, and the chometz ones are 3 times the size of the matzah, notamehen arba v'nosam akoy, and you take out of them four out of them, one of each of the three types, and you give them to the koyin, v'asham nechom l'baylim, and the rest of them is eaten by the yogurt. So that's the Braisa had gone. So now we've gone through the Braisa and we've shown the sizes of the respective types of loaves that are used for the used for the Torah. So we'll start analyzing the Braisa. So we'll start analyzing the Braisa a little bit, and then we'll continue, and then we'll continue with it tomorrow, Bas Hashem. So we'll start. So the Gemara says, Omamar, Behikru v'menu, the Pasuk says, you should bring from it. Means Minam Machubar, it has to be all connected together, either as regular Rashi and Tosfos, etc. It doesn't mean together. Rashi Ksav Yad, it has to be in one Keli. So you're telling me if Mimenu means that it has to be connected. Elameata, Dichtiv, what about a Pasuk also from Parashat Tzav that says, Ve'es Tochelba Yorim Mimenu, we should take off all the Chelav from it. So what does it mean? The Gemara is assuming that you first cut up the animal of the korban, in that case, talking about an osham, and then you take out the emurim. So hasam mai mechuber ikar. So what mechuber is there? You have everything has been cut apart. So therefore we see that mimenu doesn't have to be mina mechuber. So Tosfos says, so what? You could still put them in one keli, you could put them all together. Fine, Tosfos says, no, the question is, of course, on the contrary, the question is, of course, mina mechuber v'faker, you take out the emurim when the animal is still mostly whole, and of course it's connected. So why would the pasuk even need to tell us that? So the Gemara says, Kidur of Chista Amar Avimi. The answer is that Faker, it tells us like what Rav Chista says in the name of Avimi. Amar Rav Chista Amar Avimi, Shaloy Yonateach Basar Kredim Shizal Emurim. Precisely that. He shouldn't be cutting up the korban before he takes out the Emurim. You open up the body cavity of the animal, you take out the Emurim, and then you cut up the animal into pieces. So therefore, faket, that is in fact what we are learning from the word mimenu, and therefore it means that the word mimenu is actually teaching us that it should be the mechuber. Next, Omamar, we said in the Braisa, Nemakan Truma of Nemakan Trumas Meiser Truma. We said it's a Truma over here and also about Trumas Meiser, and therefore we started by saying you learn that it's one tenth from there. So the question is, fine, we can't learn from Bikurim, as we said before, and as explained, as Tosfos had pointed out before, once we rejected Bikurim, then we can reject Truma for the same reason, because we said that Truma also, you have something afterwards, you also have to get Meiser afterwards, just like Bikurim. So fine, because you can't learn from that, but the Nelef mean Trumas Midian. Why don't we learn from the truma that they took from the spoils of Midian in Parshas Matos, where you had, they split up the spoils. One half went to the Jewish people at large. The other went specifically to the soldiers. The Jewish people at large took 1/50th and gave it to the Levium, and the soldiers took 1/500th and gave it to the Kohanim. So Rashi versus Rashi Ksav Yad over here talk about, is the Gemara trying to learn from the 50 or from the 500? In any case, the point is, that's a lot less than one tenth. And the answer is no, don't in Truma Nehegas the Dirtis, mit Truma Nehegas the Dirtis. No, but you can learn a Truma that applies throughout the generations from a Truma that's also in later generations. Valtachir, Trumas Midian, Shen Nehegas the Dirtis. The one in Midian was a one-time thing from the spoils of Midian. It's not a rule that applies later on, and therefore we have no reason to say that it should apply to, that it should apply to this. Okay, the Gemara says, V'nelef mitrumas chala. Fine, instead maybe we should learn from the Truma of chala. Chala that we take from dough is also called Truma in the Pasuk. And therefore, now, so what is the amount? So what is the amount of challah? So we have the rule that regular Rashi points out that it's 1/48. Rashi Ksav Yad says 1/24. Both figures are actually correct. The Mishnah in Challah tells us a private person gives 1/24. A commercial baker gives 1/48. Mefarshim bring up the point that the Mefarshim in the Noda of Yehuda and other Acharonim bring up the point, and those are all Dirabanan. Here we're talking about a Daraisa level. Daraisa, there's no minimum amount that you have to give a Challah. So then why is the Gemara thinking to learn from the 1/24 or the 1/48? So the Noda Yehuda gives an answer. There's a mitzvah to separate challah, and there's a mitzvah to give challah. The Noda Yehuda explains the mitzvah of giving has to be kedenas sina. You have to be giving the kohen a decent amount, and therefore that would actually be 1/24 or 1/48. But when it comes, you're right, to take challah, in other words, that now the dough is not tevel, and you'd be allowed to eat it, that midaraisi, you're allowed to take any amount, and the chacham made it equal to the amount of nesina. So you then would be focusing on the amount that you give to the kohen. The mitzvah esam gives a different answer in the back of the Gemara. Gives a different answer. Look, the Gemara at this point is just saying that we're to learn from challah for both parts of it, the part daraisa and rabbanan. But still, it would be the maximum would be 1/24 or 1/48, and not 1/10, like we're saying. So why not? Tonet Rei Rabbi Shmuel. So we learn a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel because donin davar shenemar bo mimenu truma Hashem, mi davar shenemar bo truma la Hashem. Because we would learn where it says over here that that it says so the Don and Davashinem, but men of Trumas Hashem, which is by the Lach Metoda, Min Davashinem, but Trumal Hashem, we're going to learn it from something where it also says Trumal Hashem, namely Trumas Mice. On the side over here it says the correct Gius is supposed to be that by the Lach Metoda it says Trumal Hashem, and by the by Trumas Mice it says Mimenu Trumas Hashem. So you're going to learn like that. La poki trumas chalad lenemu menu trumal Hashem by chala. It doesn't say mimenu trumal Hashem. It just says trumal Hashem without the word mimenu. So therefore, it's more similar. So if we're going to learn in Zeta Shabbat, we're going to learn it from where it's more similar, and therefore that's going to be from trumas meiser and not from chala. So in this connection, actually, Bori Rav, so Rav asks the question, Trumas Lachmei Toida, this Truma, the Lachmei Toida, if we're comparing it to Trumas Meisr, Chayavan Aleim Misa V'Choymesh, or Yen Chayavan Aleim Misa V'Choymesh, suppose that a Zor eats it. Is he, now, if a Zor eats Truma or Trumas Meisr, if he does it with Mezid, he's Chayav Misa V'Deshamayim, and if he does it with Shulig, then he has to pay the Koyan the amount, the value of the Truma plus a Choymesh. So do we treat it the same way over here? When he eats the life of the Zor, he eats the four that went to the Koyan, does he do the same thing? He gets Mr. B'deshamayim if it was B'mezid, or pays Keren B'choymesh if it was B'shoyim, or Yin Chayim Alem Mr. B'choymesh. The question be given to Iktash from Trumas Meiser to Trumas Meiser Dami. Once we make a Hekesh to Trumas Meiser, then we consider like Trumas Meiser. We have a concept called Ein Hekesh L'Mechza, that when we make a Hekesh, we don't do it by halves. We say that it goes across the board. Oiduma, boy, or maybe because by truma the pasuk says anyone who eats it from it, so that would be a mute. Then he gets misa. And similarly, it says v'chamishi soy, and its fifth he should add to it, which again maybe is a mute. To say that only when he eats truma b'shoigig or trumas meisa, which is also truma, then he would be chayav for that, and therefore mir tnachmana, and therefore the Torah is making a mute and saying that it wouldn't apply to other things which are compared to truma, namely the trumas meisa, namely the zlach meitoda. Also, Rava says, here's another question, minamas, or in minamas, here's another question, do we treat it like truma as far as the din of meduma, where if truma falls into less than 100 times as much chulin, then the whole thing is called meduma, and it's also to zorim, you have to sell it to give it to koyanim, you can sell it to koyanim minus the value of the truma in it, so you had, let's say, 90 saw of grain, and a saw of truma fell into it, so now you have 91, you can sell the whole thing to Koyanim at the price of 90 saw. You would have to sell it to them, though, practically speaking, you would get only the price of truma. Truma is usually worth less than fulin. So do we do that? Do we say the same thing with these lachmei tarida? Or any of it amas? Or does it not cause that kind of mixture? And it would be on a daraisa level, things are bottle one and two. Because again, now the question is, we don't find, regular Rashi points out, we don't find a mute in the pasuk to say that it shouldn't apply to them, so maybe it does, but maybe not. So then let's take these questions are left as teku, and therefore, so we don't have the answer. Is he chayav for it, or, so therefore he's not chayav the choymesh? So the Rambam actually brings, when it comes to paying the choymesh, you can't have moitzi mechavel or araya, so the Koyan can't demand from him the choymesh. The keren is going to have to pay one way or the other, so that he'll have to pay, but not the choymesh. As far as dimur, the Rambam passes, they are medameya because of the suffix. Okay.